great to be with you. It's great to gather together and acknowledge together and hearing others acknowledge how great our God is and to give praise to Him. We're also gathered together to remind ourselves that God is active. He is active in the world today, and He is active in our lives. And we need to remember that in certain times. Maybe this is one of those times. Would you stand and join us on this song? See it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, You never stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. He is active in your life. I'm not sure that I knew that necessarily when I was young. I think Jesus was an escape from hell for me. So he was my hope in death. And as he has proven himself over and over again, he's proven that he is my hope in life and in death. We're going to sing a new song in which the authors themselves figured that out, that he is the hope of our entire existence, even after life on this earth. Our home in life and death, Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence that our souls to him belong, who holds our days within his hand? What comes apart from his command? What will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope. His grace and goodness known in our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trials, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. sing. Oh, sing. He lives, and what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him. There we will rise to meet the Lord, then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you all, and it's good to have you all online. Let me encourage every one of you. We just came up with this last week. If you want to click on this, and it's kind of like our welcome card, we would love to have you put in a prayer request or anything that we could pray for you about or anything that's going on in your lives, just let us know. And there's also one if you want to get a link to the giving app. I believe it's on the other side. So let me just make you aware of that, and you can click online for that as well. I want to say a thank you to Jerry Toko and Ken Colton, who really helped put the golf outing on yesterday. The guys had a great time, and it was a lot of effort that went into that, and I want to thank those guys and thank all the men that brought people out. It was a good time together. The Council of Elders have called a special business meeting on Sunday, August 16th, and that's to inform members of a reconciliation issue. The meeting will be on site, it will be for members only, and it will be immediately following the 11 a.m. service. We have a vacation Bible school that is set for August 9th through 13th. Renee and her team have been busy creating a digital original equipment, not equipment, a program, and they put a lot of effort into this, and so there's a lot of things that you will be involved in. So I encourage you, if you have grandkids, if you have kids, if you have neighbors, connect them to that. The information is online. It's free, and it will be open. It will be preschool through fifth grade. And again, you can sign up on the website, and you'll see the link there. So big announcement this week. We have had people come to the elders, and they have requested, as a church, that we have one dedicated service, that it would be a required mass service. Up to this time, we have said we recommend it, but we prayed about it, and we love those folks, and we want them to feel comfortable coming to church. And so starting next week, we are, for the 9:30 service, we are going to require masks. And we want you to keep your mask on for the whole time. And obviously, the people who are up here, they won't have a mask, but when they leave, they go to sit down by you, they will have a mask. And so we just, we want to do this out of love. There's a bunch of people who have not felt comfortable coming back yet. And so We're doing this for them, and I would encourage us to be respectful of that. If you say, man, I just can't, you know, you're here at the 9:30. If you say, I can't do the mask, well, then come to the 11 o'clock. And my prayer through this all is that we would be respectful and care for one another. And so if we could do that, that would be great. As elders, we're constantly monitoring. The staff has done a great job to keep you all social distance. So that's just a big announcement that we would love you to think about. And again, that's going to be starting next week. I'm going to send out a video this week to remind everybody. So again, 9:30, we're going to have the required mass thing. So we're going to pray together. There's just a lot of needs that people have. And really, in our hearts, there's just always things that are going on that we need to take our lives and submit them to the Lord. So let's just pray together. Father, we come to you. And Lord, we thank you that you are God, that you have our lives, that you have this country, you have this virus, you have all that's going on. Lord, we confess that there are times where we get agitated and frustrated with all that's going on, not only in our own lives, but in the world, and we don't respond always in a way that honors you. And Lord, we just call that what it is. It's sin. And so we come and we would pray that we would be totally in the center of your will, Lord, that you would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, there are several needs that are out there of people that are hurting, that have health issues, that are alone, that are depressed, that are discouraged, and others that have joy, and there's a lot going on. There's many young people that will be heading off to school soon, but it's going to be different. It's going to be a different scenario, those that head off to college. And so we just pray for wisdom and direction and your leading in all of these issues. Lord, we come to you and just pray that you would work in our lives, that even during this crazy time that we live in, that we would fulfill what your word says when it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that we would do that we would live that out, and we just commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, let's stand and let's worship together.
You know, sometime recently, I think it was actually maybe even this morning, I was feeling a little bit weak, and I was reminded of this song, which reminds us of a scripture that says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where we get strength from, is what we realize about the Lord and knowing that he will renew our strength. So I think we need a little bit of strength these days and the joy that goes with it. So will you sing this along with us? The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in our God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in our God. For you are good, and you have rescued us, victory won through Jesus, your only Son. Now we're alive. Death has no grip on us. Lead us to sing. Lead us to sing. The joy of the made us royalty, daughters and sons, through Jesus the King of Kings, Spirit of God, marking us as your own. God, we are yours. God, we are. You may be seated.
Ephesians 5, 22 to 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself his Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he may sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing have come with open heart, oh let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith handed down to this age came to us through sacrifice, oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Sing it again.
Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Let's hear your voices one more time.
Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. Have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Heavenly Father, I do pray that we let those words, words of life, words that you've had since the beginning, and the intention was to love us, to make yourself known. I pray that they would go deep into our hearts right now as we hear from them. We love you, but thank you for loving us first and most. I lift this up and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Over the last few weeks, we've been in 1 Peter. You can open your Bibles there. And there have been some challenging passages that we have looked at, and today's going to be another one. And so I want to start with a little bit of a review. In Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress and my God, in whom I trust." And then he goes on to talk about some things. And then he says in verse 4, "He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge." When we come to the place where we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and I have this big umbrella here, we come underneath his refuge, under, if you would, the feathers of his wings, under his protection. And it is a radical transformation because he wants us to abide in him. He wants us to dwell in him. He wants us to stay underneath his protection, under the shadow of his wings. This is where God calls us to be as believers. And yet, doesn't mean that things are going to be easy. It doesn't mean that you won't have problems. But it does mean that even when you're in his wings and you're with him and you're abiding in him, he will be with you. He will work all things together for good for those that love God who are called according to his purpose. It won't be easy, and sometimes it will be horrible, but God who knows us, who has us, he wants us to abide in him. And when we do that, we're good. We're safe. We are in the center of his will. Now, we live in a world where we're strangers and aliens because when we live this way, when we say, "Lord, I'm yours, and what you say, I will do. I'm going to stay right with you. I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to believe your word." When we do that, the world out there thinks that we're crazy because we act differently. And matter of fact, it says in 1 Peter 4:4, it says, "With respect to this, they are surprised that you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you." I mean, in reality, and I was talking to one of the guys that's heading off to college, in reality, when you live a life that is dedicated, set apart for Jesus, the world is going to look at you like you're strange, you're an odd duck, and yet God calls us to rest in him. And so we take refuge in him. Now, there's happiness in this. There is joy. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "You have made known to me the path of life, and in your presence, mean underneath and in his will, in his presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." There really are. And young people, old people, you step out from underneath what God has called you to do. There may be the pleasure of sin for a short time, but let me tell you, it comes with a price tag. And it is not good, and there is great harm. And I'm telling you, I could have testimony after testimony of people come up here and say, yeah, I was once walking with the Lord, and then I walked away, and here's what happened. And there are scars, and there is collateral damage in your life because of that. And yet, when we come to Him, we're all in. One of the biggest problems in Christianity today in the American church is there's people who will sing praises and say they love Jesus, but they will pick and choose what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. And when we come to Him and we say, Lord, we're yours, we don't pick and choose. We're yours, and what you have said, we're gonna struggle to live out. We're not going to do it perfectly, but we are going to submit ourselves to you. And so in 1 Peter, we have been seeing some things that he wants us to do that are hard for us. One of them is he wants us to, as we submit to him, submit to the governing authority. So if this is government, I know what you're thinking. You open an umbrella, that's bad luck. Let me give you a theology lesson. There's no such thing as luck. There isn't. And so God's sovereign, it's all good. But he wants us to be under his umbrella of authority, and he has ordained government. And what do? We submit to the governing authorities. We do that willingly, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. We obey the governing authorities until they forbid us to do something the Lord commands or command us to do something that he forbids. And so we do that, and we willfully do that. Last week, Pastor Jason talked about the whole idea of the workplace. And again, another authority that God has established. And what do? We obey the Lord. We serve our workplace and our workers and our master, so to speak, with a good attitude, with an attitude that is towards him. We do it we should be the best workers in the world out there. Why? Because we serve King Jesus, and his transforming work in our lives have changed everything. And so that is what God has called us to do and how he has called us to live. And today, we're going to talk about the whole concept of submitting. Another God-ordained authority is home. And underneath that, underneath what God has called us to, how we're to live. And so we're going to look at what it means. And today, we're dealing with wives submitting to their husbands. Now, ladies, you're going to love this message. It's just going to be great. It's very popular, by the way. Everyone, listen, of all the messages I've ever done, this always falls on ears that are people that love to hear it. And I say that in jest because I know. I look back at, I preached a sermon 15 years ago in Colossians, and I dealt with this passage, and I vividly remember there was a family that was coming to church, and the lady just hated the idea of it, just absolutely did not believe what the scripture says. And so they ended up as a family in time leaving the church. And it was really a tragedy because God's word is true. And everyone's always, when it's stuff you don't agree with, you're looking for loopholes. You're looking to say, how can I not obey what God says? And again, as Christians who love him, who are called by his name, we want to dwell under the shelter of the Almighty. We want to obey him. We want to glorify God with our obedience. And so what we're going to talk about is sometimes hard to hear. I'm coming up on my 35th anniversary. Jane and I will be married 35 years next month. And I remember at our rehearsal dinner, we had read the passage that Jane read earlier. And Jane's mom, who's now with Jesus, Mary Bell, used to come here, and she died earlier this year. She got so mad at the hearing of that passage that she walked out during the rehearsal. And this is no joke. And it became like a bit of a family drama. And I went afterwards, what's the problem? I said, what happened here? And she's like, basically said to me, I don't want my daughter submitting to you. And it was like she thought I was some gorilla that was going to treat her like dirt, you know, and because that word has a lot of baggage with it. And yet, Mary Bell herself was the perfect model of submission. She really was. And so we're going to talk about that today. And I know for some of you, it's going to be difficult. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Some of you are new. We covered this a couple years ago when we were going through the book of Ephesians. But I want to look at very briefly what submission is not and what it is. And then we're going to get into 1 Peter because there's a specific context that's there. And a lot of this that I'm going to lay out for you, I'm going to go through it quickly, is stuff that I learned 25 years ago when I was in seminary, and I was greatly influenced by John Piper's teaching on biblical manhood and womanhood, and so we're gonna kind of go through these. So real quickly, what submission is not? Submission does not imply inferiority. It's not like I am better than Jane. I mean, that's just not the case. In Christ Jesus, I mean, it says there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all made in the image of God. We have all the direct access. And yet, within the Trinity, there is the idea of submission. Jesus said of the Father, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." So it doesn't mean that ladies are second-class citizens. It doesn't mean that they're inferior. The reality is that there's just a different function within the home that goes on. Second thing, submission does not mean surrendering thought. You don't check your brain at the altar. It doesn't mean that you just keep your opinion to yourself. That's not the case. Indeed, it says, "But as for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him." And so God has given husbands wives that are their helpmates. Wives complement our weakness, and often they complete us, they make us better. I mean, I've said it a million times, I'll say it again. I would not be where I'm at in ministry if it was not for a godly wife who has helped me along the way. She is in many ways in different areas, smarter than I am, more competent, more discerning. She has gifts in areas that I don't have. And so, and I am grateful that she has been my helpmate over all these years. She has not surrendered her thought. And there are times where we have good, healthy conversations. And so the idea that submission is you knuckle under, you don't say a word, that's all the negative stereotypes that are out there, and they're just not biblical. Point C, submission does not mean putting the will of the husband before the will of Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And just like with all these other authorities, with government, with the workplace, we are to obey God rather than man. And when they want to lead us into an area that is sin, we don't go there. And so that one is real, real clear. We obey the Lord. We submit as unto the Lord. Letter D. Submission does not mean avoiding every effort to impact your husband. We're going to see this in our passage today where it talks about winning the husband who does not obey the word. And yet, there is a real impact where God has given husbands, wives, and men, you need to listen. Because lots of times, you're just flat out wrong. You know, God has given you your wife for a reason, and it is good to talk and to listen, and lots of times the Holy Spirit will work through your life. And especially, gentlemen, if you're not at the place where you should be, because there are times when guys are living out here outside of the umbrella and God is trying to use the wife. And so it doesn't mean that ladies should not try to impact their husband. And then submission does not mean slavish, coerced, or cowering. I wish I could speak to the men, but Pastor Jason has that next week. Because the idea that men would have attitudes, and we see this from time to time, where it's literally they have the attitude of saying, "Woman, submit." And that is so ungodly. It is so wrong. It is. It should be done. I mean, the whole role of the husband is to love his wife like Christ loved the church and lead that. And I just I cringe when I hear of ladies that are afraid to talk to their husbands because he's going to get mad and he's going to explode. Excuse me, gentlemen, that should never happen. God has brought her into your life, and she is God's gift to you, and you getting all angry because you're not getting your way is sin. It's just flat out wrong. And so, it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold his fast to his wife, and the two become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. In the same way, we serve King Jesus, and we don't do it. It's like, oh, I'm afraid of what's going to happen. No, we joyfully do it. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's our Master. We willfully, as believers in Jesus Christ, want to live out his word as true believers. And that's how it should be for wives. And it should not be something that is done in a negative way. So let's look at what submission is. First of all, submission is a principle for all believers, by the way. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we lovingly submit to one another. And there is that idea that we care for others, we think of others more than we do ourselves. And yet, even within that mutual submission, it does not negate the fact that God has given the husband the special and primary role of being the head of his home. You have that primary responsibility, gentlemen, to be the leaders of your home. And you have that, and yet you live together as one. It is the concept that even within mutual submission, if God comes and knocks at the door, he's not going to say, okay, is your wife around? I am responsible for my family and how I lead it and how I care for that family. And so, and yet there is this mutual submission that goes on. I've heard it said before that men, as we lead, it should be the man who says, let's do this in a positive leading way. Point B, submission is to be done willingly. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. If you feel like in this message that I am somehow putting pressure on you unduly, that says, Pastor Matt says I need to submit to my husband, then you're a little outside the umbrella. And you can't even say, I'm not a submitting type. I mean, that's like a guy saying, I'm just the angry type, so I can't not be angry. No, I mean, we all are responsible for our own struggles, and so we need to honor the Lord and to submit to what he says, and we're to do this all willingly. And again, as to the Lord, we submit to the government. No one likes submitting to the government for the most part. Why we do it? Because we do it because we love the Lord. We do it to honor him. We do it to glorify him. We do it to make his name known. And then finally, submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. Oh, this is such a great passage. In Proverbs 31:10, an excellent wife, who can find it? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. And why? Because she has been God's blessing. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord, the scripture says in Proverbs. And so, as she lovingly brings herself underneath his leadership, she helps. It is a divine calling to honor and affirm her husband and to help him carry out his role. And so that's a quick definition of what submission is not and what submission is. Now, let's look at the passage. We're going to tie this all together. And because I think it is, it's good to have that background as we come to this passage. So let me invite you, if you would please, for the stand for the reading of God's word. And I am going to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And here's what it says. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. So even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry and of the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with an imperishable beauty, of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious. This is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her daughters if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. So let's go through this. You may have a seat. Let's go through this. First of all, let's understand the context of which 1 Peter chapter 3 is written. Historically, in the first century, in the Greco-Roman culture, women had no respect. They were not respected at all. They weren't respected by their fathers. In Roman law, fathers were granted ultimate life and death authority over their family. And same thing was true in marriage, husbands over wives. And so when Christianity came on the scene, and by the way, you can see this in other religions, the way that ladies are treated, Christianity elevated ladies unlike anything that was in the culture. And so that's where we understand what is going on here. And yet, we see that in the early church, there were people, again, there was no church, and then after the resurrection, the church started to grow, and many of those that came to Christ were from different backgrounds. Some came from backgrounds where they were servants. They were what Pastor Jason had talked about yesterday. Many of them were ladies that came to know Jesus after they were married, and it was a different world. So that's a bit of the context in which he is writing to. And yet the Holy Spirit had a word to say to those that were in that position. So let's look at the scope of submission in verse 1, 3, 1. It says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. And that word likewise, by the way, is a connecting phrase going back to all those other umbrellas that says, just as we submit to the government, we submit at work, we submit unto the Lord. It's all in that context. But he says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Your own husbands. Not to every man. When the scripture says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. When you get married, the authority, when we do a ceremony and the dad walks the bride down, and we'll say, who gives this woman to be married to this man? I remember in one of my weddings, I think it was one of the Vantine weddings, I said, who gives this man to be married to this woman? It was all wrong, and everyone laughed, but I did it wrong. But there is a handoff. The father hands off the hand of his daughter to the husband, and then they come up here, and we have the ceremony. And that is how it's supposed to be. There is always problems if the umbilical cord is not cut. So I just give this as a word. We've gone through it. When your children get married, they're a new unit. Your authority, you're telling your kids how to live, needs. You can be a coach, but it's their call. They're now a unit, and you have to make sure. There's always a problem when there's a meddling parent that after the marriage wants to control the family still. Not a good thing. So just understand that there is this break that goes on. Now, the goal of submission is to win the husband. Clearly in the text, it says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Again, there were those husbands who didn't obey the word. Whether they heard it or not, we're not clear. I'm more of the opinion that they heard it. They just rejected the gospel. And we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But we're going to see that in this, the way that she lives her life is going to be with the goal of winning her unbelieving husbands. And there's many of our ladies that are in this position, and it's like, you've been doing it for years, and he's not coming around. And I just say, don't give up. Don't give up yet. The Lord's not done. And so, but that is the goal. That is the goal of why God has told ladies to submit to their husbands who are unbelieving, that the goal is that they would be winning their husbands. Point six, and we have the strategy to win your husbands. It says, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct. So verse 2 elaborates on what is involved here. It is the idea that wives should not focus on speaking, not focus on preaching and if you would, badgering. We've all heard of stories. I remember of ladies who at every turn were, you know, they would set the radio station or have a cassette tape on, load it up to where someone's explaining the gospel. So when the husband got in the car, turned it on, that would be there. And the whole thing of putting Bible verses in the guy's lunch, all those things, you know, in one sense, it's out of the right motive. But in this one, it's kind of clear that he's saying, listen, let your life be the witness. Let your husband see a life that is transformed. Let them see your respectful and pure conduct. And then verse 3, here we go, we're going into deep water. He says this, do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of the hair, the putting on of gold jewelry and the clothes you wear, but let it be your adornment, be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious. So, the adornment, what you put on, ladies, is not the external adornment that God is looking for. Wives should not have the primary focus of your hairstyle, jewelry, and of what you wear, but it should be of the inner beauty. Not that you ignore the others, okay? But it should not be the primary thing. It really shouldn't. If I could be blunt, ladies, and I know I'm going to get in trouble. I'm always getting in trouble for stuff. But at the end of the day, you could be dressed to the nines all the time. You could be perfect, immaculate, dolled up, look beautiful. But if your persona, if how you live, and that's the main thing in your life, and you're honoring your husband is not there, then it's not good. God desires that first and foremost you have inner beauty, which is in God's sight. Precious. It is precious. And that's what God desires. This is God's word. And I've talked to dozens of ladies on this one. And I'm not a lady. Right? I don't get it. But I do know this much. God's word is true, and he really desires that you would have that inner beauty that is in his sight very precious. Now, can I tell you, I'm talking like an alien. I understand if you don't get and you don't want to submit to God's word, this is going to be a hard one. It always is hard. But when we want to honor him, he says the imperishable beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit, which is in God's sight, very precious. Now, I've been doing ministry for over 25 years. I have gone to or conducted hundreds of funerals. And you've done it too. You go to a funeral home, and what do you see? You look at these pictures, and you see the pictures of these wives. Some of them, they got married 50, 60, in some cases 70 years ago. And you look at this beautiful bride in this old picture, and she was beautiful. And you say, wow, she was a beautiful lady. But then you look in the casket, or you see pictures towards the end of their lives. And if they were a godly woman, you can honestly say, you know, that beauty that she had, she was a knockout. That all faded, but her beauty that she had in a godly character, that doesn't fade. And in reality, that is precious in God's sight. It really is. And I've seen it. I've done funerals. And I love doing funerals. I do. It's kind of weird, but I do. I've done funerals, and it's sad where the kids will get up and talk about, all they'll talk about is how mom had great fashion. And I'm like, can you? I mean, that's great, but that needs to be like number two at least. Her love for Jesus and her love for other people should be number one. And the other is definitely subsequent to that. And I hope you get that, ladies. And here's a great thing. Never too late to change. Never too late for all of us to get our priorities right. Whether it's submitting to the government, having a better attitude at work, wherever it is, we want to honor the Lord in what we do and how we do it. The final point is this one. The example of imperishable beauty. Look at verse 5. It says, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." Now, it's interesting. Sarah is chosen specifically as an example of a submissive wife. Part of it was she was beautiful, and yet she submitted to an imperfect husband. When she was 90 years old and the angel appeared to her, and the angel said, "You're going to have a child," it says in Genesis 18:12, "So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? Shall I have pleasure?'" And so she called him Lord. And it's like, what's that about? And can I just say, Jane's never called me Lord. We were joking about it this week. It's like, you never have done that. But what is it? It's the idea that ladies, it is a reference to him with respect and dignity. That's what she was doing here. It's not like it has to like, oh, call him this title. But it's the idea of she respected him. She lifted him up. And I just say this. It is dishonoring whenever you speak of your husband in a way that is dishonoring and disrespectful. It's just wrong. It's just flat out dishonoring to God. And you say, "But you don't know my husband. He's really all those things." And I'm not even arguing with that point. I'll agree with you. Yeah, your husband's a bum. Okay, we've settled that one. But we still are to do what God's word says. And by the way, it's not like Abraham was this great guy. I mean, there's two occasions when they're traveling and he basically lies and says, you know, to save his own skin and say, "Well, don't say that you're my wife because they're basically going to kill me and take you. So say that you're my sister," which is putting her in harm's way to be taken into the king's harem. And so it's not like he was this great guy, but she submitted. And so I just say this. We're believers. We want to obey the Lord. We are called, as the scripture says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And then it goes on to say, "He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge." Wherever we're at, and this goes for the guys as well, we need to be gladly submitted to him. And it's not always easy, but there is great joy when you know that you're walking with him. You know that you're in the center of his will. You know that you are glorifying him. So I end with just a question. There are two mirrors. Which mirror will you look at? The one, I mean, you can look in that mirror all day long. And again, nothing wrong with looking nice. But that needs to be a way second priority to your submissive, godly character, which is glorifying in God's sight. And so I just ask us all, what's going on in our hearts? Where have we come to him, and where have we selectively said, "I don't like that one"? I know we have been preaching through, I mean, all of these things we've been hitting on, they're not fan favorites, because we're laying out God's word. And the scary thing is people, I mean, God's word says this. Okay, we have to obey this. And the scary thing is, I know there's people right now that are saying, yeah, that one, I don't think so. And I just pray for us as a people. There's no way you're going to glorify God if you're out here and you're just saying, nope. Now, I understand the struggle. If you're sitting there saying, Lord, how do I do this? How do I stay under this? I'm battling. Great. We all battle on. Whether it's at work, whether it's government, you name it. But this is what God has called us and how he has called us to live as a people. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to have the band come up, and we're going to sing. But let's just pray together. Father, I do come before you. And I know I haven't answered every question that ladies have. There's many. I know that there's different scenarios. I know, Lord, that it is a hard thing when a husband is not where he should be. So I pray for men that they would obey your word, that they would love your word, and that they would submit to your word, and that they would indeed make the whole concept of submitting easier, because they are a good, godly husband who treats their wife like a queen and treats her well. Lord, I pray for the ladies whose husbands right now don't believe, that you would give them strength, that they would be a godly woman who does what this passage has said. Lord, in all of these situations, we know that we can't do life without you. So I just pray for your working and your hand of mercy to be upon all of us. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maybe hard words. Sometimes in his scripture, in his word. But if we know of his character, and we know that he is good, and remind us that he is good, that we know that it is for our benefit, that he says everything that he says in his word. So we're going to remind ourselves of that. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. Moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so
goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Sing that again.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Thank you, Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after.
All my life. Just a couple things in concluding. One of our air conditioners is down, so it gets a little warm. So next week, you know, hopefully it'll be a little cooler, but just want to make you aware of that, of what's going on. And again, just a reminder, next week, first service, it will be mask required, and we will be handing out masks if you need one on the way in. Let's end with a word from Scripture. At the end of Jude, it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, and dominion and authority before all time, now and forevermore." And all God's people said, amen.